Warning, this podcast is no way associated with Fox or the production of Hell's Kitchen. Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Real Eats. I am Kelsey Murphy here with my good friend Pete Ferrero, and we are here to give you the inside scoop, all the drama, and break down every single detail and exclusive interview for Hell's Kitchen Season 22, The American Dream.
Hi. We're doing great.
I'm sitting in the
Starbucks, and like the background music is like in my headphones. I was telling Pete, I'm like, I feel like I'm at a club. What's happening? Oh, I like your spice rack.
Thank you. It was courtesy of the last night's episode.
Yeah, I saw that.
Incredible.
Yeah. You said you wanted a spice rack like that.
And now you legit got it.
I pretty much moved in
and I said to my husband, I was like, so this wall is going to be where you're going to build the shelving for this. He was like, okay, thanks for the heads up.
Hey guys, welcome to The Real Eats. Kelsey here with my good friend Pete. And we have a very, very special guest joining us on the podcast today. We have Lee from Hell's Kitchen. She was just recently eliminated, unfortunately, from the show, but we are so proud of her and so excited to chat with her and hear all about her journey on Hell's Kitchen. So welcome to the show, Lee.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're so excited.
Right out the gate, I like to start with the tough stuff first.
Get it out of the way.
Carmen.
It's always the first one.
What's going on there? So, I mean, in the beginning of the show, the series, she's very aggressive and putting her dishes forward first. She's got a lot of conflict with everybody. Did you feel that conflict with her? And because it didn't seem like you had much conflict with anyone. You're chill. You get along. You're easy peasy. But there was a lot of it. What was that like to deal with that personality type, I guess?
Honestly, I mean, one of my goals going in was just like no beef. It wasn't what I was there for. I was there to cook and like not get into it. Like at the end of the day, I was like, I know this is a reality TV show. I know that's the point, but you know, that wasn't my jam. But Carmen was my best friend on the show, actually. At the end of the day, like she is so cool. And yeah, she was like fighting for her name to be up and like pushing, but that's what you have to do. You know, she was trying to prove that she cared. Like she was there to win. And I respect that. I was there to not be the biggest loser at the end of the day. My goal was to not humiliate myself. And like, that was all I cared about. Carmen was there to win. And like, you have to respect that, you know, it's a competition. And I think like as a female, you're often pegged as, you know, domineering or like something a little bit more negative than that word if you are really strong. And that's kind of what happened with her, you know.
It's interesting too, because like on reality television, you don't know, so you know, sometimes they put people on television to be cast as like the villain, right? I mean, Jason could have been clear, you know, classified as that as well. Yeah. But I don't, you know, now that we're where we are in the show, Carmen is not a villain at all. In fact, she's just really good. You know, she just belongs there with everybody else.
She definitely started to like, I guess, like prove her. Like, I think she came on so strong, and then that was the only thing we like really focused on. But behind all that, there is so much talent and so much drive.
And to be fair, like she was putting her personality strong up against like some other really strong personalities. Yes. So like as the group kind of went like dwindled down, and also like as we started to get to know each other, like by the end with me, Carmen and Sammy, like we're all really good friends.
Yes.
Kind of just like not relax, because there's not like a moment of relaxing on the show, but you could settle into yourself and just like focus. Where at the beginning, like one, you're trying to make a name for yourself, and two, it's reality TV. There's going to be some like strong personalities that like, you know, cause you to react a certain way. And that
casting knows what they're doing.
Okay. But
they know what they're doing.
Did you watch the show prior to, were you a fan of Hell's Kitchen? You'd seen it?
Yeah. I grew up watching it. I hadn't watched it like when I was in college and in recent years, but like when I was, you know, in elementary
school. That's how Pete and I were. We were like,
none of us have, apparently.
A while ago. And then we like hadn't watched it for a while. So I was so excited to get to talk to you, or like whenever this was going to happen, because one, you were the like most, I guess, inexperienced as a professional chef on the show. And so me being from coming from MasterChef, and now people are like, oh, would you go on Hell's Kitchen? And I'd be like, I'd be in the same boat. You know, I'd be like, I've been a professional chef for like 2 years. Like, I'd be super inexperienced. How was that? Like, obviously I'm sure intimidating a little bit, but look at how far you made it. It means nothing. You know, I like to say that. I don't think it means anything just because you have so much experience.
No, I definitely agree. I mean, I think there were definitely like things that I wish I had come in knowing that gave other people an advantage, but like, I really did know that if I was going to succeed, it was going to be like learning and absorbing and taking every chance I had to like act on exactly what he told me to do. Some of my fellow contestants kept telling me that I was at an advantage for not having had experience before, because they were like, you don't have to unlearn what you learned on the line in like a different kitchen. You're coming in with a fresh slate, which I kind of think is like, you know, like, okay, fine. If that's how you're gonna play yourself, right. I'm doing well, like whatever.
Yeah, you should be able to adjust.
Like, right. But like, there's something to be said, I guess, about that. I mean, it was definitely overwhelming though. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure. I'd like terrifying, I'm sure. And you know, I would feel the same way walking, being like, oh, I haven't been mentored under these crazy chefs and learned all this stuff. I mean, so there's just so many things that, you know, they have experienced and learned. But granted, when you are working in Hell's Kitchen, like I don't know. I feel like it's all stripped down. So like, none of that experience really does anything for you. Mentally handle it.
Exactly. It's a mental game at the end of the day. Like, we're all, you know, able to cook for the most part. And it's like, how do you handle yourself under pressure? How do you combat stress? And I mean, you know that, you know,
no one's been given like a menu 2 hours before and been like, make this work in a restaurant. Also, like, no one's done that. So everyone's, I feel like, on a level playing field.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's insane.
But yo, like, what's crazy is like, I haven't been cooking at all, and I can't even make a burger, but you're doing this in like, you know, you're on Hell's Kitchen and you're doing the whole thing. You know what I mean? You're doing all of his signature dishes. You're hanging with the best of them, you know, and outshining. I mean, not to throw him under the bus, but adjacent with all of the experience that he has, you made it further than he did, you know? So it's a testament to how good you are and will be as you continue going on this journey.
Well, do you have a favorite dish you made on the show?
I was so proud of that grilling challenge dish I made for Aaron Franklin when I was like bawling in front of someone that I'm really look up to. But I had just had like a really emotional morning on Hell's Kitchen that day. And I was just really missing home and was starting to I think we all at some point were like, why am I here? Like, what am I doing? And that was my morning for that. And then I walked out and I was like, oh, I can't handle this right now.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. You're like, oh my gosh.
Him loving the dish. That was,
but you made it through that. A lot of people, when I have those days, end up getting sent home on those days. It's like, you either push through it or you don't. We talked to so many of your other contestants who said like those mornings that they had during service, they were just like, I'm out. Like, I just, you know, like, I'm done. You reach a point, and that's really what makes or breaks people. That's like, that's the point of the show. It's just to see like who can make it through that breaking point, step over the line.
Not to like be that person, but I'm not like, you know, woo woo about all of it, but I was like really intentional about meditation before I came on the show.
It's amazing.
Like, I think the only thing that kept me sane, like every time we got sent to another punishment and everyone was just kind of like slowly losing their minds, I'd give myself a minute in the corner and like breathe. And I was like, it's a game. Like, this is a game. It doesn't really matter. And that's like, I think the only reason why I was able to stay, for the most part, out of my head.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, again, you're in like the shithole of conditions. It's, I mean, it's so very cool. Like, whenever anyone asks me, like, oh, reality TV, how is it? I was like, it's traumatic. Mm-hmm. Like, it is traumatic. It is like being in the trenches.
Well,
like,
on that point, though, so you're a fan of the show, so you've seen things go down on that show where you're like, oh, he's yelling at somebody and he just threw a steak at them. Or these two people are arguing in the dorm. But now you're on the show and you're like, oh, I'm on the episode where that's happening. What is it like to go from fan of the show to experience a Gordon meltdown or a meltdown in the dorm?
Honestly, every time, like, he didn't yell at me in service that many times, like until last night. That was definitely the worst one. But a few times, like, he would get in my face, and every time my brain was like, couldn't reconcile the fact that it wasn't a TV screen. Like, he was so close to my face and yelling, and like, I could not register it as a personal insult. Right.
That's great.
It was so surreal. Oh, it was perfect. I
yeah,
was like,
that's great.
Body, like, there was one.
I'm like, oh, that poor girl. Like,
she's really getting yelled at right now.
My brain is like, this is a good episode. Like,
yeah, you're like, this is great. Entertaining.
There was one dinner service where I think he was trying to, like, I think it was the second night. And like, the first night, he'd kind of, I felt like he went easy on me. Like, I was able to just kind of like coast and like figure out what a kitchen looked like. And then the second dinner service, he was, I think, trying to test me. And so he said something to me that I felt was like kind of quiet because I did not hear him. And then he started like getting in my face yelling, like, do you think your husband in the military would ignore his superiors? Like, how dare you? Like, and then I was like, he's like trying to break me. And I think I was on Meet with a Toy. And I was like, just talk to me literally about anything. Just like start saying words and like get my brain off of what he just said. And she did. She was like, okay, this is what we're doing. And I was like, great. But I moved on.
You're so smart and so self-aware. I love that.
I didn't cry.
Like, serious, so self-aware in that moment to be able to like know what you needed to get yourself out of that headspace. Like, that's hard during a challenge. It's one thing to be like after the fact to like get yourself out of it, but like during a challenge to be able to like switch and be like, all right, I gotta make that mental switch. That is tough.
Wow. So, thanks. I told you, I was like, I just don't want to embarrass myself. It's like my only goal.
You did not. You were amazing on the show. We were we were both rooting for you or Sammy, you know, we think you're both amazing. The last episode, though, let's talk about your elimination a little bit. Well, it was amazing to see the whole sixth jacket scenario on play out, right? Were you surprised by that? Was that really something that just happened on the fly like that?
I'm actually under the impression that it was not scripted. I remember hearing from production, they were like, he messed stuff up. Like, we were not prepared to deal with this pivot, this change. No one was more shocked than I was. Like, I knew going into the last round of the three rounds with Jason and Ryan, I had come to terms with the fact that I was going home. Like, I was like, I'm still gonna cook a good dish, but like, there was like zero part of me that felt like I was gonna keep going.
So
when he called my name over Ryan, who I had honestly looked up to from day one, I kind of felt like, that's why I looked back at him immediately. I felt bad.
Like, I'm sorry.
Like, I really did. Yeah. And I, you know, that's why in the interview after the fact, I was like, I know I deserve to be here, because I wanted to like kind of make up for the fact that I'd been like, oh my God, but Ryan, what about him? Honestly, my biggest regret on the whole show wasn't aired, but when Jeff Ramsey said to me that I got the jacket and then he gave Ryan his and he said, Lee, let's go for a walk. And he took me back through the kitchen and then to the dorms to like go to the lounge. He like grabbed me by the shoulders and he was like, I'm so proud of you. And I said, thank God Ryan's coming too. And he was like, young lady, this is a competition. And I was like, I mean, I don't care about Ryan. I don't, like, I was so in shock. I like didn't have anything else to say. I just,
What would you have said?
Wow.
Now that you've replayed it.
Thank you. Like, for the opportunity.
Something more normal.
Something more focused on yourself.
Like, I was so shocked. I was like, how could you pick me over this like really talented chef, which I know is like, I'm a realist. So I was just kind of like, what is happening? And I shouldn't have like expressed to him that I didn't think I was the best. That was a mistake. And then I went home the next day. So, you know.
We'll talk about that.
Which is tough. But was it in that moment, like, was that so fun? I mean, it looked like a blast in there. Like, you guys just like really enjoying that moment, making
what?
No.
You're like, no.
I got food poisoning. I was up all night. They could talk about how they were like hungover. I was like on the toilet, like, can you please like turn my mic off? Please.
Oh, no, really?
Oh my God.
You're like, what staff members of part of the food crew like gave me food poisoning?
Well, I was just dumb because we'd been doing the competitions all day and we got into that lounge. And I was like, oh, I'm so hungry. I haven't eaten. It's like the evening. And yeah, I didn't like think through the fact that the food had been there all day.
Yeah, like probably there all day. Like they don't know how long things are going to take, how long filming's going to take. Like it's been sitting out there forever.
It was a bad idea. Yeah, so it was like fun briefly, but everyone else was already tired. And then I got food poisoning. So like.
Oh. Sorry. That's okay. And that doesn't help. I'm going into the next day.
No.
Yeah,
we did not actively.
No. Yeah. So yeah, let's talk about the Elimination Day.
The Wellington. You didn't know how to cut the Wellington, supposedly, which I think you did, and maybe it was more for TV. I'm giving you. I'm helping.
She's like, no, that's okay.
No, what happened?
I'm nothing if not honest in myself. No, I'll never. I didn't know what I was doing. I had been avoiding that station, and not that you really get to pick. He assigns it, but like if there's two people on it, I had done New York strips before and I'm very comfortable cooking New York strip in a cast iron. I had never like cooked a beef Wellington in my life. I had not sliced one before. I know that sounds stupid, but like with the puff pastry, you have to be very like firm but delicate at the same time. So I just like massacred it. And he said to me during dinner service, he was like, Lee, if you keep sending up raw things, like, and because you have to keep opening the oven, what do you think you should do? And I was like, oh, I should make the oven hotter. And he's like, yeah. And it's just like not
right.
Also, there's no timers. Like, I didn't really have a good grip on how long everything right. should be in there. Both teams had different ways of doing it. So I was getting different advice from like Carmen and Sammy and then the guys. Okay. And so no one was giving me like, it should be in there for like 20 minutes. I should have known. I just didn't. And when he put Carmen and I on that station, she was like, you're great at New York strip. I'm great at the wellies. Let's do that. And I straight up was like, no, we're black jackets now. We have to like push ourselves.
No.
Why? Why?
Why?
Why?
I'm a masochist. I don't know. I must be
why? That is probably something.
No, I understand your theory.
Like, no, I need to better myself. Like,
I understand your theory. Like you want
to time and place
show. You want to show like I'm capable. I can do this Wellington shit.
No.
I've never done it, but you know, it's good. We'll do it right now.
Maybe I was a little confident coming off of the win that morning.
Yeah,
big time.
I got it.
Stupid.
To your point though, you're like, oh, I should have done that before. Like, no, when would regular chefs ever make a Wellington? Like, I've never made a Wellington. Why would I make a Wellington? Except like, unless I did it for Instagram or something. Like, why would I ever do it? Like, serving that at a restaurant. Like,
that's you should do it now, Kelsey.
I just said it now.
Now you have to do it.
No, because Gordon will come on and do like a side by side and be like, look at MasterChef just like botching a Wellington.
So the experience, it was an awesome experience for you. What are you doing now?
It's been 2 years.
What's going on? Yeah.
It was an awesome experience. I feel like it was the most formative, immersive learning cooking experience I've ever had. I mean, I left so inspired to like cook more, and the way I think about food, I think changed from the show, just like being around all of the amazing people that were there and everything. I'm a private chef professionally. I started private chefing in culinary school, and then like a week after I graduated, I flew to LA to film. So I came back and was just kind of like trying to still get my business up and running. So I've been traveling, doing private events a lot. It's kind of the deal, not like for a family, but I do a bunch of private events all over.
Love it.
Wherever you have me.
That's and what then, I do a lot of. I love it.
Yeah, it's fun. And then I'm trying this year, for anyone that's interested to keep their eye out, I'm starting a luxury travel business where I'll basically be doing that cooking, and we're going to do destinations. I'm also getting my master's in wine and beverage management. So I'm going to be doing like wine pairings and optional wine education. And then like, you know, we'll be in Tuscany or something like that. And
sounds terrible. Yeah, I wish I could join you. Okay, somebody needs like I need to get rid of my kids somehow.
You can come.
Like,
it'll be
I would love to do that. I need to get rid of my children.
Also, though, you should be doing more TV stuff because I think you were really great on the show, and you came across great, and everybody is rooting was rooting for you. And I think this is just the start of your culinary career, television food career. And some of the chefs that were that you were looking up to on this show will be looking up to you very soon. So you were really awesome to watch. And I know we, like I said, we were both really rooting you on.
Yeah, thank it's you, a breath sir. Of fresh air to like watch somebody who you know is level-headed, true to themselves, like
authentic.
Not there for the bullshit, like very authentic. Just, yes. Yeah, it's there's always like a couple of them in every like cast, but like you always want them to stay and like actually accomplish something. Some of them you're like, oh, they're just getting kept around. Like you, I was like, yes, this is like me on that show. I'm like, I'm like, yes. So we were sad to see you go, but so proud of you. I mean, like, it's amazing to just like watch you evolve and learn on the fly and accomplish what you did. And now, I mean, you're having fun doing what you do, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like,
it's really a crazy experience. I know, I'm sure for you as well. It's just kind of like, I can't believe I did that. And what's next?
Yeah, it just changes like your mindset. I don't know. Like, people are like, what did you learn? I'm like, I can't like tell you specifically. It just changes the way that you do things and think about food and think about your career. And like,
where can people find you on Instagram? Wow, so they can sign up for the trip to Tuscany. That's not happening
yet.
Right.
It'll be coming up. Now my my handle is _ Chef Lee, LEIGH, and
so find you there, follow along.
Yes,
Lee.
Awesome.
All right.
Well, Lee, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. This was great to talk to you, to catch up, to find out all the nitty gritty of what happened on the show, but also to hear all the wonderful things that you are doing now, 2 years later. So, again, we are so proud of you and just cannot wait to see what else you accomplish. So thank you very much.
I had a great time chatting with y'all.
Yeah. Right. Thanks, Lee.
Bye.
Bye.